On this very special edition of the Dunk Tank, Dunkelman and Chet find themselves without their scheduled guest and decide to... On this very special edition of the Dunk Tank, Dunkelman and Chet find themselves without their scheduled guest and decide to fly solo, intending to do a quick 20-minute episode, which ends up turning... Fuck!
We talk a lot. It becomes therapy. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, it becomes therapy. God damn it. Donk. Donk.
You want to talk about this is good because this is gonna we should be able to be good enough to do this.
Brian is referencing that our guest is stuck in a meeting and we're probably not going to have a guest today.
Other performers go to meetings and have projects which they are working on.
Who books that?
Who books those?
There it is.
That's what you're learning.
I think this is good. Maybe this is like karma for last week's episode going incredibly too long. And it's a break to our listeners who endured that.
Yeah.
And now we give them a treat by a truncated
episode. If anyone stuck it out for the hour and a half last week, we thank you. But you know what? It's because you and I were yapping up a fucking storm for about the first 25 minutes. So maybe that was a little precursor to us doing one solo.
Yeah, because that went so well.
Yeah, it was really... What do you mean?
Good time. Here's a bunch of depressing health facts, and then here's Brian calling some woman a cunt for 5 minutes.
But here's the thing, Chet. You shared. You shared something real, and then I got to call someone a cunt. I say it's a win-win.
Win. Same.
By the way, I want to read... I referenced this guy. Man, I had a good time with this guy in Reno. 60-year-old retired cop, and he works part-time for the club. He picks the comics up from the airport and takes them to said radio station, and he actually knows that woman, and he sent me – by the way, he's a golfer. He took me golfing 4 times.
Oh, wow.
We had a fucking blast. I had such a good time.
Golf talk. You know I'm going to listen to this episode again.
If you're listening – my birthday was Sunday, and I was not happy to not be able to be with my wife and my kid. He's like, I'm not telling you where we're going. I'm surprising you. He drove me an hour out of town to a beautiful course, one where they have a qualifier for, like, the PGA. Genoa Lakes, gorgeous. Got me a fucking dozen Pro V Titleists. Like, what a fucking cool dude.
That's fascinating, anyway, Brian, and let's talk about something besides golf so people don't stop listening.
Shut the fuck up. It's just backstory. Because now, he sent me this text the other day. Just listen to the podcast, which I have subscribed to and got the newest one today. You are a fucking animal, Dunkelman. You told it as it was. You told how you felt. Then bang the fuck out of her at the end. You got balls, my friend. Big one. You are my hero.
I just picture this guy having a therapist's office that he runs where he just gives his patients terrible advice and false support.
By the way, I was laughing my ass off when Chet was talking about prednisone. Just finished my dose today. He got a nasty. He calls me. He's like, hey, when you got home, did you have a rash? No. Why are you telling me this? He got a fucking horrible rash, I think, at the last golf course we had because he was digging in the weeds for balls. But he sent me some pictures, and it was quite nasty. But it was a very sweet text, don't you think?
Yeah.
First of all, he listened and subscribed. How'd we get into that? Oh, the joy of talking about someone and calling them a cunt.
Yeah.
Chet, I had a very good week personally. Stand-up-wise, not so much. You did a lot stand-up-wise. Let's talk about it.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yes.
All right.
We got a lot of time to fill, so talk slowly.
I don't think...
Don't leave out any details.
We don't have to fill a lot of time.
Every little...
This can be a 20-minute episode.
That'd be great.
I think I left this out last week. I did a contest, and I brought 0 people to the contest, so I didn't plan on advancing.
You're not stacking the deck.
The audience picks their favorite two comics to go in the lightning round, where you get called up on the spot.
And then, at a place called Flappers.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
And then you do 90 seconds each. Now, during my set, the show was at 7. There was a pizza place that closed at 9 that people have been telling me to go to. They announced who's in the lightning round at 8:30. I was hoping I wouldn't go to the lightning round so I could go get pizza.
Oh, conflict.
So
success during my versus set, pizza. Who will win? Who will win?
I spent most of my set not doing jokes and pointing out a guy in the audience who was eating a cheeseburger with a flashlight. Like, he couldn't see it. And he had this little flashlight. He was trying to get I was laughing. I couldn't get through my material. I pointed him out, and I asked what his name was, and his name was Ian. And I encouraged everybody in the audience to vote for Ian. And I wanted to see Ian get in the lightning round, break some barriers, and eat a quesadilla for 90 seconds. That's what I wanted. So me doing that, of course, got me voted into the lightning round.
Jesus.
And then I didn't get to eat pizza.
Even when you try not to succeed, you succeed.
And then I did try, and I brought my best stuff. And then the other person that went up knew her, but brought people and didn't know what to do with 90 seconds. So literally said, like, a priest, a rabbi, or whatever, walk into a bar.
Oh, no.
Just street joke. And wasn't claiming it was their own. Just like, I don't know what to do. So, of course, they moved on. I didn't. And then I didn't get pizza.
What you need to do is get out of a comedy club and go get a shitty day job and tell the fucking jokes around the water cooler like everybody else does.
Believe me, I'm trying to do that.
Wow.
Or that's what she needs to do. But I am also trying to get a day job because podcasting is not paying the bills.
What? You haven't gotten any of the checks?
No, I've been sending you? I've gotten... Oh, yeah, they've all bounced.
No, there's no checks.
I had some really good shows, though. Friday, I did the set list open mic. And then I did this podcast. It hasn't come out yet. Where this guy saw me at a show. He's like, you want to do my podcast? I pick comics up in my car. And I thought he would drive me around and we'd do like a road trip.
Yeah, you sent me a text and it was unclear. Because if you did a 2.5 hour podcast of somebody driving you around, I would say that that's not very cost effective.
No, he just pulled up in front of my house and we sat in his car. So, and then he's going to edit that down. So that was my Friday.
That sounds good. Who books that?
I can tell you, actually, and I can get you on that. Oh, He'll come right to your house.
I think I'm busy.
You could put the baby in the car because
I'm busy that
year. A turned off car with no air conditioning and a baby in it for 2.5 hours is a great idea.
It sounds like a candidate for carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah. But I had kind of a falling out with the woman I've previously referenced on this podcast that I may or may not be seeing because I don't really know.
Yeah, what happened? Things were going so well.
Just a lot of miscommunication, I think. So Saturday I said, you know what? I'm going to have the perfect day. I don't need you. I don't need drama. I don't need I'm just going to have a great day. And I woke up and I went to the beach with a bunch of friends down at Manhattan Beach. It was great.
Bunch of friends.
I know. I have friends.
Ooh.
I can hang out with them. I forget this.
Bunch? You have a bunch?
Yeah, we played volleyball. It was very cliche Californian. And then I had my graduation show at UCB. That went fine. And then
I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
I know, but you did make my next show that night, the Underbelly show, which was stand-ups doing anything but stand-up.
And, of course, I missed your
I said, Brian, it's at 10, and at 10:15 you text me, I'm here. Did you go up yet? And, of course,
I got there at 10:08.
I'm like, who was on stage when you got here? And you described the act. I'm like, yeah, you just missed me because I did the warm-up. But it went great.
That was bomb.
It's a bit that I've been working on for a long time, and it's all these characters of the I do impressions of every member of the band Genesis, and it sounds terrible.
Funny already.
And it is terrible, but it's either hilarious ironically or I'm a genius and no one recognizes it.
It's a fine line.
The last time we worked together
actually,
in Rochester,
I got you saying
word.
Actually now
one of the employees there told me not to do. Do you remember this? They're like, do not do those Genesis jokes. They're so stupid.
Yeah, right.
And I said, I'm going to go open with those jokes.
Good for you.
And I opened with my Phil Collins impression on the show you're on, and it got an applause break, and that person stormed out of the room in anger.
Fuck that guy.
And that's when I knew that bit was a keeper.
I like it.
And then you and I had a phone call after, because you had to leave early because you had a show, which I think you'll get to in momentarily. Yes. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, well, there's some
And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to let Brian bum me out. I'm going to go do an open mic. And I did, and it was great. Perfect day, Brian. Everything went well. Three shows, hanging at the beach. And then the drive home, I feel like something's missing. And wouldn't you know it, I drive by the garbage truck.
Shut up. You just happened to drive. New York,
they were parked right down here, right down the street, North Hollywood. And I stop, but it's 2:30 after bars close.
Yeah.
Pull over. Hey, are you guys still serving? Sorry, we're all closed up. Oh, no worries. Wait a second. Are you Chet Wild?
Oh, my God.
Yes, I am. And the guy goes, oh, fuck it. Let's turn on the grills.
Look at that.
And then they fired everything back up, even though they cleaned it, and they made me a garbage plate. And then this guy brought up again, which I may have referenced earlier in early episodes, burgers.
Okay.
He ran into you at an airport.
Yes, he did.
And I do you believe said you come I to the
do
truck.
I do believe I helped him put his bag in the above area.
Yeah.
And then he looked and he said, oh, my God. I don't think he said, oh, my God. But he said, Brian Dunkelman. I said, yeah. He said, what the hell are you doing here?
He just loves saying your name.
Does he?
Yeah. He's just, Dunkelman, what the fuck's Dunkelman up to, Dunkelman? Like, he loves. But they have a wall of fame on their truck with celebrities.
Really?
And they're willing to come, when we record these podcasts on Tuesday, to come here, serve food outside. We'll go outside, maybe do a little recording with them.
Love it.
And wall of fame, you and me both. It'll be like some NFL players, Kendra Wilkinson, and then Dunkelman and Wild.
That's where we fit. Yep. Somewhere in between them.
Yeah, and I think Philip Seymour Hoffman's on there maybe.
What?
Yeah. That's all I want.
I can see him
eating trash.
That's
all the fame I want.
That is wonderful. Just they turned the fucking grill back. Oh, my God, are you Chet Wild? Fire up the grill!
Yeah, I don't want to be paparazzi famous. I just want to be famous enough where a food truck
to get food.
Will turn its operations back on for me.
I think that's fantastic. That's all I'm looking for. It's good to have goals.
And then Sunday, did probably, I'm going to hope the people that booked me don't listen to this because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, maybe the worst show I've ever had.
What?
The worst show I've ever done. Terrible.
What happened?
At a tobacco lounge in Riverside.
Oh, sounds good, though.
That's not a
sounds good already.
Gang capital of the world.
I don't want to know who books that.
No. And it's actually a nice venue. It's a bar, and they serve food and stuff, too. And the stage is really good because they have bands. But he brought his own mic. His mic kept crapping out. Most of the comics didn't sit in the audience. I did because there really was no audience. And the first comic, no jokes, just kept doing crowd work. But all of his crowd work was about how he hadn't been on stage in 3 months and had no jokes. And then he kept asking how much time he has left. Just get off.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he started doing crowd work with me. And I'm like, oh, I'm one of the comics. And he's like, no, I know. I want to know about you. And continued to try to get comedic advice. It was very uncomfortable.
Do you think he'd do the podcast?
Maybe.
Could he use him today?
God, no. I would quit. But here's the best part. So the bar is actually full of people, of MMA fighters who one of their guys just won a fight, and they're all out for their post-show celebration. And these quote-unquote comics
just won a fight. I thought you said just won a fight.
Just won.
Like, just won a fight.
Won an MMA like style match.
W-O-N.
Yeah.
Not W-N-N-A. Because I would fucking hightail it if they were there and they just won a fight.
No, they had a fight.
Hey, you want a fucking fight? Or no, I just won a fight.
They,
what I'm saying?
They won. One of their members
they
was
were
in a contest
they
and
were,
was victorious.
Gotcha.
So 30 MMA people from the gym are all out in their same matching shirts.
That sounds terrible.
All ripped, celebrating. And then these fucking idiot comics are being like, hey, we're doing a comedy show. Hey, you. And they're not going after the muscly guys. They're going after the blonde girls in the t-shirt, which if there's one person I would not go after besides the muscly guys would be the girls that the muscly guy is going to get pissed off about. So I proceeded to watch that. And then there were two people up front actually paying attention. And then when I went on, the mic started crapping out. So I just unplugged the mic.
Sure.
And I had a conversation with these two ladies
Look
for 25 minutes where I stood there because I was having a good weekend. And I wasn't going to let this bring me down. And I remembered the Brian Dunkelman bulletproof advice.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not going to get the flop sweats. I'm not going to take it out on them. They've still paid $5 each to get in. Oh, guess what? I was supposed to get all the door. And they paid $20 to a door person and collected $15 at the door. So, yeah, Sunday night. Awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? Someday, Chet Wild, when you're doing live television and the guy standing next to you is trying to fuck you up every step of the way, you'll think about that night with those MMA fighters and those two ladies, and you'll be like, I can handle this shit.
The best part
don't
was,
hit the table.
I was doing my big closer for them, and I was doing an actual bit to close rather than like humorous conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And right before I get to my final punchline, the bartender walks up to me. I'm like, it's like, da da da, and here's the final payoff. And she just walks up to me, do you want me to turn the jukebox on? So I didn't even, the final thing, I was going to close with a bang and just, and the kicker of it all, I swear to God, turns the jukebox on. What's playing? Phil Collins, Against All Odds.
Stop it.
Not.
That's not what you should close with. How can I just walk away? Or you walk away from me?
Oh, yeah.
I like it. No, that's the Against All Odds. How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? You could sing that while you're walking the room.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember that.
Let's go do karaoke with Dennis Haskins.
I'm totally into that.
But let's get to... Let's talk about the good things.
First of all, got a kiddie pool for my son. And for my, when I say for my son, I mean for me.
Already saw the pictures.
Because it's about 4x6.
Seems like I should report it to Child Services.
It's fucking sweet. He loves it. Gussie loves it. Threw him in the other day. Not so much while it's happening, but when he gets out and is refreshed after the oppressive low 90s heat. What else did I do? I had a lovely day on Saturday, which is why I couldn't come to your UCB show. Went over to my good friends. They have a 14-month-old. A dear friend of ours who has a seven-month-old was out from New York. Got to meet her little girl. Another friend who has a 3-year-old and a 6-week-old. And we had a barbecue, and we played with our babies, and then we made them all get naked and get in the kiddie pool, and it was just a fucking delight. Then the other day, yesterday, my friend Conan, who has been working nonstop.
O'Brien?
Not that one. Finally is done for a few days, maybe a couple weeks, and I told him I got a pool. He's like, fantastic. Am I bringing beer or Crown Royal? I said, surprise me. He brought both. So we had a little photo shoot with my kid in the pool. We're going to put that photo up. I think it's going to be the big heading on my new website that you're going to help me with right after this show.
Did you see the timestamp of the email I sent you last night?
No, what time
was it? I
was
up till 4 a.m.
Oh, my God.
On your website, Brian.
Chad, this is why. This is why.
I still got to the gym at 10.
This is why I talked you into moving out to L.A. so you could stay up till 4 in the morning doing things to help me.
Just trying to find pictures of you on the internet that aren't you in shorts from Celebrity Fit Club.
Oh, the burn that won't end. So personally, what a lovely week. What a wonderful time. Now, stand-up-wise, not so much. Thursday, well, first of all, let's talk about this. Before Thursday, I found out. I am not from Buffalo, Chet.
No.
But I say I'm from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows where Ellicottville, New York. A lot of people actually would surprise you and say, I know there. I've been skiing at Holiday Valley. It's a very, very small town. One street light. It's the only thing that separates us from a farming community is that ski resort.
Half a street light left in my town.
I used to work at that ski resort. I worked in the rental shop. I was boot boy. That was my last job before I left Ellicottville to pursue my dreams.
Boot boy, Dunkelman.
Yeah, where the rest of the guys, I would read the USA Today every day because there's nothing to do. It's just hand out boots. And the other guys would be like, yeah, fucking Dunkelman, sure do like reading. Bottom line, I did. They asked me to do their orientation a couple of years ago, and I did that and went really well.
Who did?
Holiday Valley. Okay. Some corporation. Went very well. I charged them a fraction of what I should have, but, you know, it's my hometown. So I find out there's a big music festival summer series, and this year the Ellicottville Chamber of Commerce has decided that they're going to kick off the whole festival with a big comedy show. And I just found out that there's going to be a big comedy show. Literally the day after I'm going to be leaving because I'm going home for my mom's birthday / family reunion. And one of my friends, really funny comedian who I'm hoping does the podcast, Tammy Pescatelli, is going to be headlining. So I kind of was a little weirded out when I found this out that, I'm actually from there. I used to. That's where I started doing stand-up and didn't know about it and wasn't asked.
I know this. I'm not going to pretend like I don't know this already. Can I just run through the text exchanges we had about this? Is that
Yeah, sure. You still acceptable? Got them. Aw, chat, you save our texts.
Brian, just found out that Tammy Pescatelli is doing stand-up in Ellicottville to kick off the Summer Music Festival. You know your career is in the toilet when your own hometown doesn't want you. Me, 2 hours later. I just did a podcast where the guy picks you up in his car and you record. It took 2 hours and 15 minutes. Also, regarding Tammy, did you submit and get rejected, or she just got the gig and you wish you knew about it? Because you can start conversations to make it happen next year. Nothing back from Brian. I reply again. Tammy has a good relationship with the Lucille Ball Festival nearby and also grew up in the area as well, which I'm sure has something to do with it.
Cleveland!
Reach out!
Cleveland!
Pretty close.
It's not even fucking close.
Brian.
Town of One Streetlight. Cleveland.
Brian replies, I knew nothing about it. It's a town of one streetlight. I'm from there. And that's all you wrote back. Me. Well, instead of being agitated by it, reach out and book it next year. Brian, I'm not agitated. No, because this doesn't sound agitated at all.
It's right there in print.
I'm not agitated. I have no interest in doing a show where there are children. Me. So you're complaining about not being booked for a show you wouldn't want to do. Order the War of Art. Because you still haven't gotten that book. You. Bingo. That was the conversation.
That was it.
So
yes.
Ari Result. I'm a little upset.
That I don't want to do.
You just
I want to work when I go home.
No. In front of
not
children.
At all. No.
You refuse to not say fuck during comedy.
What? That's not true.
That's pretty true.
I did not say fuck Thursday night.
Remember not that set once. A couple weeks ago you're complaining about? I went and watched you at a certain club and you're like, I didn't say fuck that much. And I'm like, yeah, you did. Do you want to know how many times you said fuck?
Tell the audience, chat.
31 times.
That's not true.
In 15 minutes.
That's not true.
I counted it.
Duh, you're fucking full of shit.
Sup, fuck right there. See, you say it without even knowing
hey,
it.
Hey, we're not living in that far of the past.
But of the 31, 27 of them were not during jokes. They were during casual banter or calling someone a fucking slut.
I was screaming at people. I haven't been asked back.
I can't believe it.
Well, whatever. I've burned bigger bridges than that.
On to Thursday's adventure.
So anyway, Tammy, who's so sweet, she retweeted one of our first tweets about the podcast. And I contacted him like, that's really so nice of you. I really appreciate that because I don't really know her that well. But she's like, hey, you know, we all got to look out and, you know, try and help each other. I'm like, that's really cool. And then I'm like, I'd love for you to do the show. And then she was coming out and she came out the weekend I was in Knoxville. So we missed each other, but we've been kind of communicating back and forth. So I tweeted her. I was like, hey, you know, I just found out you're doing stand-up in my hometown of Ellicottville. I said, you know, I'll tell my family to come out and see you. And then she replies, she's like, yeah, that would be great. She's like, you know, let me know if I can get them, you know, I'll get them free tickets. You should play this festival.
She said that?
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of 10 kids. I want every single one of my relatives to go to this show just so I can get like 28 free fucking tickets.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to talk to my sister about this because
maybe they'll have comment cards there and they can all write book Dunkelman.
That would be cool. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to go home and I'm going to see how many times somebody brings it up to me. Anyway, let's let go of that.
Now,
I'm looking forward to going home.
Do you go home for the holidays? Do you go home at Christmas?
No, we went home maybe 3 or 4 years ago and it was 8 degrees and it's okay. Tough, but we will not be going home this year.
Because if you did, or Thanksgiving sometime, I think we could book our own shows independently. You get so caught up on people not booking you. Sometimes
when I go home, though, I want to be with my family, not really work. So that's, you know, sometimes I'll work the Webster gig and then be there for a weekend and then go home. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But so in town Thursday, you accompanied me to the Laugh Factory.
I did.
I'm going to be sensitive. I want to be careful about how I talk because I do want to say that somebody got in my head, but I want to mention who it is because he was nice to me, yeah. But wasn't at one point. I was at a club in a town where there's two clubs, and then we had a little poker game afterwards at one of them, and he was the headliner at the other club. Don't think I'd ever met him. I was talking to the booker because I've known her for 10 years. She's one of the good ones. one of the ones that books me. So yeah, she's one of the good ones. And they're playing poker, and he came over and kind of just insinuated himself in the conversation. She introduced us, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I think we met at the improv." He's like, "Yeah, you one TV host to another, except Brian flew a little too close to the sun." I'm like, "Really? That's the first thing you're gonna say to me? That's odd." And then he was just a dick playing poker.
Was there a lot of alcohol involved?
I think he was pretty hammered, but you know what? So was I. But some people can handle it, and some people can't.
Comics are dickheads.
Yeah, kind of.
In general, any specific.
And my feature act had talked to him earlier, and he was like, "Yeah, our shows kind of sucked. There was only like 40, 50 people either, but you know, they were pretty good." And he's like, "Oh, both bars were sold up. They were fucking assholes." Come to find out, there were 23 at his early show and 37 at the late.
Sure.
In a club that seats 250, so I don't understand that. But the next day, my—
Incredible that you remember those numbers.
Oh, I remember everything like that. But then the next night, I'm like, maybe it was just in my head. My bartender at my club was like, "What was up with him? He was such a fucking asshole to you." I'm like, "Really?" Because I was thinking the same thing, but oh, fuck him. She's like, I was just like, don't fucking treat my headliner like that. So anyway, he was the MC at the Laugh Factory, and I hadn't seen him since. He's totally nice to me, but I think it got in my head a little bit.
Yeah, I think it got in your head.
And too. I was there to run the clean, edgeless Letterman set that I had been working on, and I fucking chewed it. I chewed it pretty hard. I think my first minute might have been decent, and then it just spiraled, and by the end of it, I haven't looked at the tape because I'm not going to.
See, I think your first minute fell flat, and then you built up from there.
Oh, really? Isn't yeah, that honestly, interesting how we saw that
because you do this thing, I've seen this many times, where you're very rarely do I see the MC introduce you with like a normal...
Why does simple... everybody fucks with me? Okay, let's put it this way. This is what you think set the whole tone for it. I said to him, like, "Why don't you just say..." Because I want to plug the podcast. I'm like, "Why don't you just say you can download his podcast on iTunes, you know, because I'm a trailblazer." The dunk tank. He's like, "Trailblazer. I'm going to use that." So now you do his intro.
Your next comedian can be heard on his very own podcast, The Dunk Tank, which you can download on iTunes because he's a trailblazer. Brian Dunkelman, everybody.
Yeah, that's how I went up.
And so it was like kind of a joke, but it bombed. It seemed like he was shitting on you.
Yeah.
But I don't think he actually was shitting on you. I think just...
I don't think he tried to either.
The joke, just a joke and intro fell flat. And then people were like, "Oh, are we supposed to like
that?" And that was just an offhanded comment I made. I was like, "Oh, don't use that. I wasn't giving you something to say."
It made people weird from the beginning. And it's not like it was a hot crowd. It wasn't a bad crowd, but...
It was a younger crowd.
No one was getting applause breaks before you. You know what I mean?
No.
And then you just ran your set, but your energy was different. That's why I think you should watch the tape, as painful as it is.
Like
before this, we're editing some tapes of yours, and you're doing the same jokes, but you're smiling and you're happy, and your body language literally shifted during that set, and you'll see yourself slouch and just look down, and you can tell.
I was looking for a window.
So how do you expect the audience to want to be engaged in your set if you can't be engaged in their set?
Well, they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't laughing when they were supposed to. And I was like, "This is a wash, and this tape's worthless." And this is I don't really get spots. Let's just be honest. I don't anymore. I called. I said, "This is what I'm doing. You know, can I have 6 minutes?" And they were gracious enough to give me 6 minutes on Thursday and then 6 minutes at the midnight show on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I had a chance. Do you want to continue with the Thursday? Because I had a chance to redeem myself.
You
now,
do have
ahead.
A chance, but Thursday did end well. You went and hung out
for
the improv.
We went
for
to the improv
time.
With Avi Lieberman. Avi Lieberman.
Yeah.
It was the first time I'd been to the new bar. Man, it's too nice.
They're only like
really nice.
There were like 15
there.
People hanging out the bar, and of those 15, it was like Bill Burr, Dom Herrera, Gene Pompa, Kevin Farley,
Nick Swartzen
bought us giant shots, which. When I don't drink, have an empty stomach, and I'm full of antibiotics.
That was fun to see Chet catch a little buzz.
So it was great because Brian's like, "This is my friend Chet." And Nick's like, "Oh, nice to meet you." I'm like, "Yeah, I met you a couple weeks ago when you bought me shots." And he's like, "Well, we're doing them again."
Shots for everyone.
So we did giant shots. And the bar, you haven't been there in years. And the bartender remembered you by name, gave you a discount.
I used to live there, man.
It was a good night. And I think it was good for you to get out.
It was pleasant, minus one little wrinkle. When a young man wearing glasses and a bow tie came straight over to the two of us and said to me, "You know, man, you look just like a young Jamie Masada." Do you get that a lot? Now I keep replaying in my head, why I didn't just fucking punch him in the throat as hard as I could? No offense to you, Jamie, but it's just not something that you really think ever expect to hear. And what did I say? I think I went, oh, yeah, that's not cool.
No, I think you owned it. You're like, I've never gotten that one. Like I thought.
And then I tried to do it, and I'm like, buddy, listen, buddy, I don't know why the fuck you would come over. And it just went nowhere because I was just stunned. And then he just turned and walked away. He didn't come over to the bar to get a drink. He came over with the express purpose to say to me, you look like a young Jamie Masada.
I laughed.
Thanks.
I laughed so
just
much.
Thought I'd come over and brighten your fucking night. Because I can't sense that you just had a shitty set at the club owned by the dude I'm telling you look by. No, only once have I gotten a worse one, and that one is son. Do you know who you look like? Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers. Really? Really? I look like Cousin Larry and Jamie Masada had a fucking baby. Is that what I look like? When you look at me, is that what you think?
You should be happy that you're being recognized for things
at
besides
all. A TV show. Well, you're like, hey, you got recognized a lot. I'm like, no. Seeing old friends isn't being recognized. They know me. I used to hang out with Nick. We used to get drunk all the time together. I mean, but, you know.
I guess you should
fun.
You should want to be like me. I'm getting food trucks to start back up for me.
I would be totally open to going and hanging out at the Improv once a week with you, Chet Wild.
All right, let's do it.
Because I could tell that was a little bit of a thrill for you.
Well, no, I'm there regularly. Like,
at that bar?
Yeah. Like once a week.
Well, listen, I can't get on stage there. I might as well go and have $10
drinks. You don't go to the Improv again. I mean, if you get on stage, you get on stage. But you're there for other reasons besides that. I think you
just
going out and having a good time.
Show your
you
face. And it was a lot of fun. But that's comedy. The thing. I can't be having no shots and then
so
driving
many,
home. That's stupid.
Yeah, well, that is stupid. But I think you have a lot of mental blocks about even just going out. You have
no, it's definitely good for me.
About that.
And it's good for me, and it's good for people to seem like they're genuinely happy and excited to see me and buy me shots.
And no one brought up any of the things
that
you did in
your head. No, they don't. They're just
cool.
So it's not, that's exactly what
But
my
going
shrink.
To the things that you do have in your head and your walls, let's go to Saturday now.
So
you come to my show, you miss my set, you'll even go to the
Well,
last
Saturday day was the day with all the babies and the naked pool time, and that was just fantastic. A lot of time in the sun, tired, fell asleep at about 7:30. Woke up at 9:30 thinking it was 1 a.m. I'm looking at the clock, 9:30. Jesus Christ, I think I'm just going to go back to sleep. I'm not even going to go. Fuck it. And I'm like, no. And I went back and forth. And then I said, no, fuck it. You go and you try, go see Chet's show
right now.
If you didn't
do that back and forth,
just
you would have caught my
Just go. I know. If I hadn't have – I didn't even shower. I just put on some clothes and left. Missed yours, but it was really nice to be there. Saw Ryan Singer. Love that guy. Then I get to the Laugh Factory at 11:45. I walk in. It is packed, standing room only. I have my camera and my mic stand. The first person I see, Jamie Masada, looks at my mic stand and camera stand, with a really weird look. And I'm like, oh, that's weird already. I walk
in. In your head.
It's fucking packed. So I go, maybe I can set my camera up upstairs. Upstairs is packed. And then I hear Dane Cook introduced. I think all the blood just rushed out of my head. Because I was supposed to go up next at the midnight show. Now they're obviously way behind, and I know how this story ends because I've had to do it before. Dave Chappelle did a 5-hour set there one night, and I had to go up, and I was there 3 a.m. It was a horrible, horrible experience. So I thought, well, I certainly cannot run this set, which I just tanked with here 3 nights ago. And then I'm thinking in my head, well, what set should I do? And then I think, I'm leaving. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. There's no way that this is going to end well because he's going to do an hour and a half and he's going to destroy. And my psyche just can't handle it right now. So I said to the manager, who I don't know well, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't seem like there's any – I'm not even supposed to do a set. I'm just trying to work out my Letterman set. I was trying to get on tape. It doesn't really look like I can set the camera up and it looks like you're behind. And, I'm just going to go. And she just went, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It looks like you're behind anyway, trying to I'm doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. And I said, I really can't be here this late. I have a newborn. And she's like, oh. So that's my out. From now on, whenever I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in, I have a newborn. Oh. Mm. And I fucking left. And I did not know how to feel about it. And I called you and I told you what happened. And now that I've had a few days, I don't regret it. I'm not going to go up and follow Dane Cook after doing an hour and a half at 1:30 in the morning. It's just going to set me back. That's the way I honestly feel about it, and I'd do the same fucking thing again. Now, if I was on my game and if I was on stage all the time, maybe I'd be able to handle it. I know my entire set would have been about what bullshit it was that I had to follow the king of the fucking Laugh Factory, probably the most beloved comic in the country. And by the way, I'm not a Dane hater. I like Dane. I've met him. Very nice guy. I'm not one of those haters. I think what he did is amazing. He changed the fucking game forever. He deserves all the success he got. And the shit about the Louis and the stealing of material, you know what? He went on Louis' show like a fucking man, and that was a brilliant episode, so that should be over. I'm not one of those guys, but I know my limitations as a man, Chet Wild. This is another instance of you do not do what I do.
I was going to say.
Do what I say. Because you should have gone up and followed him.
I would have.
You should have eaten it with a fucking shovel.
I wouldn't have eaten it.
Nah, that's the attitude.
I think you have to go in with that attitude. I think you have to go in that I'm going to do well. Or at least I'm going to ride this momentum. If you go in saying there's no way I can follow this, then of course you're not going to follow it.
Yeah. Not proud of it. Not proud of what I did. And let's just put it this way. I ain't going to be calling in for spots for a while.
Well.
But I just was not. I'm not in a strong enough frame of mind where I'm really trying to commit to getting out and doing stand. And it's like it's an uphill battle for me. And that was going to knock me fucking down too many pegs.
I think
that's what I assessed.
One of the things you have to come to grips with and figure out exactly what you want to do, because you talk about, you know, wanting to do TV specials and wanting to get on the road more.
And then I have a fucking shitty set and I'm like, I don't ever want to do stand-up again.
And also, if you want to really be great, it's, you know, stand-up's like, you know, an analogy that's been used many times, I'm sure. It's like going to the gym. If you lift weights once or twice a month, Brian, you can't expect to be ripped and in top shape. But if you're going to the gym five nights a week, you know, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And
yep. That's all. That's all.
The common
fallback
that you go to, which you even just admitted to, is your baby is your excuse.
Now, I know your excuse because it's absolutely my priority. And I got to tell you, I've been given a lot of thought. I was in Reno for six nights. And it was a tough week at home. My wife was up with him every hour on the hour for a couple nights. He did not do well, and they thought he was teething. And the fucking minute I got back, he was fine. So that's a big deal for me. And I got to really think long and hard about what I'm going to do from here on out. Because if this is affecting my kid already at 5.5 months.
He just needed daddy to be home to slip him a little moonshine to
fucking
stop the sleeping.
You fucking did.
Well, you also have to figure out how to make income. So if stand-up's not going to be it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the
thing. Well, sometimes, Chet, it seems like everything, the universe is so pushing me against doing stand-up. It sometimes feels like that. So why do I keep forging ahead? Because that's what you're supposed to do. And is it that difficult for everybody? But, you know.
I think
email after email after email after call after call after call. It's like my fall schedule is a little fucking frightening. You know why? Because there ain't nothing on it.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Flappers. Claremont.
November. Let's do it. Get me that opening spot. I think
I'll spend a quarter of the check on gas.
I think.
Let's talk about something positive, though.
That's what I was.
Well, I'm signing with a new agent next week.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
All right,
that's good. Let's talk.
Go ahead, talk.
Now,
I don't know.
Now, what's
about
not
it,
good is that I had a new agent. 6 months went by, not one audition. Well, it's kind of time to fucking call it quits, isn't it?
No.
Bye.
Not quits. I mean, quits
with them.
But you had an audition already, right?
Well, this was a commercial audition, and I didn't want to go on it, and it was like, oh, this is
stupid. A 40-year-old skateboarder?
Yeah, 42-year-old skateboarder, but it ended up being great because they're like, listen, the director's looking for real, so not a character. We're looking for Sacha Baron Cohen, not Jim Carrey. I'm like, okay, cool. It was all improv, and it was fucking fun.
This is a reoccurring theme, though, Brian.
I enjoyed it. Where
you don't
want to
do stand-up,
and then I go, and then I do it.
And then you do it, and then it's good, or sometimes it's bad.
Well, Thursday fucking set that back,
but you can play, okay, I haven't had an audition in 6 months, and you have a commercial audition, I don't want to do it.
I didn't want to do that. I didn't like the character. I was like, this seems a little cartoony and over the top, and this just doesn't. And then I went and I heard that note, and I'm like, okay, good. I'll go in and be fucking real. And I, what I did, I immediately opened the door. I walk in. I'm like, yo, what's going on, man? Nice digs. Who's your interior director? Andrea Bocelli. He's blind. That's why that's funny. Blind as a bat, voice like an angel. He giveth, he taketh away. You know?
Actors.
Fun, right?
So now, one thing happens. You said on the phone when we talked after your Laugh Factory, when you didn't do a set Saturday.
My waste of gas.
Is you talked about needing to, you had lost confidence in your material.
For that set, absolutely.
And you're like, I need to talk about my baby. I need to like talk about stuff that's real and not be so like set up punchline, but just
true.
Be more cathartic. But then you're also talking about like not being able to go out more than once. Like, how do you expect to work new material without going out?
It's a problem. That is an issue. I just have to have a great set every fucking time going out once a week. But I can start going out more than once a week, but it's still tough.
It's tough, but it's not impossible.
It's
I
not
mean,
impossible,
remember Kira
but it's
Soltanovic
not
being on the show and saying she has to get out 3 or 4 times a week. She just has to.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is interesting is a couple of my friends that work in higher education listen to the podcast, and 3 different people over the last couple of weeks have said, it's been interesting. It seems like you've kind of been sneaking in your counseling skills more and more, and I didn't see it until this episode, and now I just feel
that's all this one has become.
I feel like you're just a student in my chair trying to figure out what to do with their life, and we're going to figure it out, Brian.
I feel like I should be paying you for this, but you know what? I am paying you with a delightful dinner of your choice.
Oh, yeah.
While you fucking finish
while
my website.
I work on your website. Everything's coming up, Millhouse.
Listen, my success is directly related to yours. I don't know why you can't just accept
that's
that.
That's not a good thing. I don't.
It's awful. I told you this when you moved here. You're making a big mistake.
Why?
Do you know what you're getting into?
A lot of people told me that, but you're not supposed to be the one that told me that. But hey, I have a show tonight at the I'm doing the crack.com unpopular opinion show, stacked lineup tomorrow night.
What Flappers, time you got to leave?
Show's at 8:30. I should get down there at 8. So whatever my GPS says. I'm sticking around for dinner. Don't think you're getting out of that.
No, I just want you to be able to hammer out this website.
Do you feel like we've made progress today, Brian?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Can I just be at the root of it when I'm driving back Saturday night? What would be easier to live with for me? Never meeting David Letterman and doing his show? Or fucking chewing it on Letterman? That's where my head goes. Once you've had such an intense level of public humiliation as I've had, that's hard to shake. And I want to be positive, and I want to forge through it, and I want to take those risks, but that's the thought that was in my head.
Here's a question
it's
I have for
you. It's not a healthy thought.
No, it isn't. To give the...
If I got nervous and fucking my body started rejecting itself at a stupid show at the Laugh Factory when I fucking tanked it, what's going to happen when I'm on that studio?
You
either
get
fucking
out of your
suck
head.
It up or...
You
yeah.
have to eliminate
but
those thoughts.
But these are the thoughts. These are the emotions.
I know. Yet, we had Ryan Singer on a month ago, and he said, I'm definitely going to get The War of Art.
Yeah.
You got to read that book, Brian. It's going to help you.
Do you have a copy?
I do have a copy, but I have a lot of personal notes in there that I don't want you to read.
I definitely want them.
Dunkelman sucks.
Well, now, on the... Okay. Worst case scenario, you bomb on Letterman.
Oh, my God.
Best case scenario, have you thought about this? You do so well, they ask you to come on again. Do you have a second set prepared?
No, I don't even have one.
Maybe you should. I think just if you...
I am working. I'm trying
no,
to.
If you
it's not
sat
my
down
style.
And had to write a second Letterman set, completely separate from your first, just to see what happens, just to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a good takeaway from Avi on last week's episode, talking about having a second
is.
Set ready.
It's true.
Who are you texting, Brian?
I'm not texting anybody. I'm playing with
a
bottle cap.
Oh, you're playing with a cap. It looked
because
the finger motions behind the bowl.
I'm fidgeting and I'm uncomfortable talking about real emotions.
Well, this is what you said you wanted the podcast to be.
I definitely
real
do.
Real things. We might fill a full hour.
I wanted other people to be.
There's no guests.
I was not fucking happy with my footage from Reno. And it's not my fault. It's because nobody came.
Yeah.
Fucking Scotty McCreary.
I blame the cunt on the radio. So, Brian, we got a couple wrap-up questions for you. We talk about... No, we've done the three shitty things for you, but the one question we haven't asked, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh, I mean, without question, I would say my son, but it'd have to be my wife. Because if it weren't for my wife, I wouldn't have my son. If it weren't for my wife, I'd probably not be alive.
Then I wouldn't be doing this podcast, and I might be doing something with my wife. See? Win, win.
Blame her.
Too mean.
Fucking blame her.
No, it's good.
You know the good thing is? She doesn't listen to this. You know, at first I was like, yeah, I don't know if you want to listen. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't want me to listen? I'm like, I'm going to be talking about it a lot. And then she got all fucking pissed off about it. What happened? She didn't listen to it. We're very similar that way.
I'm going to send
I'm pissed
to
off
her
because
Facebook.
I'm not doing a show that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, it's I think you just you got to overcome these mental thoughts, and I don't know if I'm qualified to fully fix that.
No,
but
I know.
Maybe you know, what
Hey, you met my shrink?
I was just going to bring that up. If kind of walking on eggshells, I don't know if, you know, I didn't ask you beforehand if you're okay talking about this. Maybe that, I mean, you were meeting a therapist for a while, and that was helping out. And then you stopped doing that.
For that.
Because you've got to get more.
Free sessions ran out.
But I think.
My doppelganger, Jamie Masada, by the way. My twin. Well, he that's the thing. I don't even know if we talked about it, but that's how cool he is, actually. I don't give him shit. But he hired a therapist to give any comic 6 free sessions of therapy. Whoever wants to do it, and that's the only reason I got back into therapy.
You should you should start going to the Laugh Factory as your character Chip and get 6 more free sessions.
Damn, that's a good idea.
Not bad. Well, I think you said, like, you know, it's a lot of money, and therapy is a lot of money. But and given your financial priorities right now with a new baby, that can be tough. Especially with the calendar not looking as full as you want.
I mean, she said she'd give me a discount, but for her rate, let me think of how many – that would be 10 boxes of formula.
But was she very helpful? Like, was it definitely helpful?
I was in such bad shape in the fall before you moved out here that I was – she met me for the first time within 45 minutes. She's like, I never say this. I think you need to be on medication.
Yeah, and you got very offended by that.
No, I didn't get offended about it. I just thought it was a little, I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it because I think that that's a rash decision. I had a very bad experience.
Sir, what was the med you were on before?
Paxil.
Okay, I've done Paxil.
Yeah, well, when I told her that, I said I was diagnosed as bipolar 2 and I was put on Paxil. She's like, what? You were put on Paxil? I said, yeah. She's like, you should have never been put on that.
Never bipolar.
Ever. Huh?
Not for bipolar.
No. Right. And I'm like, oh, really? Because, I lost my fucking mind. I went into hypomania, and I completely lost my shit. And she said, you should have never been put on that. And I'm like, oh, well, that's why I have not wanted to go on medication or do therapy at all, because it fucking almost killed me. So I just did not
want
to.
Did therapy almost kill you or medication?
No, the medication could have easily.
Therapy, I think, is a good thing for you, because you're not in the place you were in the fall, and why is that? Because you made
because shitty things stopped happening to me, and that's what I needed to happen. I needed somebody to, and I wasn't even going out and showing my face. I was coming in. I had my hat pulled all the way down. I wouldn't be seen by anybody, and everything has been much better. But I think she was wrong on the medication. And the reason I didn't want to go on it is because I did not want to be medicated for the birth of my son. Either way, and you know what? It was a really stressful pregnancy, and everything fucking worked out.
Sure.
And that's what I needed. I needed shitty things to stop happening to me, and I needed just the fucking confidence to be able to start doing shit. And since then, I've gotten a manager. I've gotten a new agent. We started doing this podcast. And you know what? I know I'm not out a lot, but the fact that I'm out at all is fucking light years from where I was.
It's
and
better
I just
to make
continue.
Small steps forward than no steps
continue.
At all.
I'll write that down.
Yeah.
What, write that down. That could be this week's.
What'd you
leave the nest? A couple eggs
couple
die.
Eggs break,
I said that to my wife because I read that and I was like,
yeah,
I said that. I said that to my wife. She's like, what? The fuck is that? I'm like, never mind.
What I was gonna say with the therapy is, some things, even though they're like, oh, I can't afford this right now, if you do those certain things they'll put your life in a better place where you'll be able to be more productive and make more money, do more of the things you want. So even though it's an investment right now that may seem like, oh, I can't afford this, it'll put you in a better spot in the long run. An example is me when I was lost my job, unemployed, have all these health issues, have to pay health insurance, which is $350 a month. Then my colitis came back, and the normal meds for my colitis I can't take because they cause my kidney disease. So I have to take this probiotic, and since it's a probiotic and it's considered a medical food and not an FDA-approved drug, my insurance doesn't cover it. So that's another $750 a month. And then I have to lose weight so this kidney disease and all this other shit doesn't kill me. So I have to – I don't have to, but I knew to – I know if I'm accountable to somebody, I'm good. If I'm accountable to myself, I just don't have the self-worth or confidence or whatever you want to call it. I can't go to the gym and just get in shape. But I meet with a trainer that keeps me on track, and I feel like I'm going to let someone down if I don't follow through. That, you know, but I had to dump a lot of money into things. I have so many financial responsibilities and no lifestyle to show for it. Like, I don't have a nice car. I don't have a particularly nice apartment or nice things. But I'm spending a shit, you know, my medical and gym expenses alone, you know, can often average to $1,500 a month, which is a lot of money. No income at the time. But I made it work. And losing that weight and working out and getting my health in check reduced my anxieties and got me in a better mental place. Am I where I want to be yet? No. But making those sacrifices and saying I need to put myself first here will make the rest of my life better and will make me be a better person for the people around me. So maybe something like therapy, even though it sucks financially, it will put you in a better place where you'll have more confidence, can work through your issues, can create more, can get out there and you know, get more work, whether it's through comedy or something else, and you can better provide for your family. I'm not saying that's the definite outcome. I'm not – in no way I don't want you to feel like I'm attacking you or dumping on you.
I don't feel that way at all, because I look at all the things that you're up against, and it sometimes makes it seem like what I'm dealing with is a little silly in comparison, but we're at different stages of life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I'm fucking 42.
Sure.
You know, and
– how old was going to therapy when he broke in?
Going to therapy is not going to make anybody call me in for an audition. I've been doing the things that I can be proactive doing. Like, that's why I've been doing this. That's why I bought the video camera. That's sure. why I put the stuff on tape. That's why I've been doing this. I just, you know, had a shitty set. And I just got a text from my wife. This day is making me want to put a fucking pen in my throat.
Her ears must be ringing from
We're meant to be. We're meant to be together.
All I'm saying is,
I just don't want to fuck up this kid, Chet. Like, I don't really – I don't even care if I'm a huge success anymore. I don't care. I'm beyond that. I just want to make a fucking modest living doing whatever. I just don't want to be panicked all the time. And I just want – I want to raise this kid. It's very important to me. Nothing is more important to me.
One of the best ways – well, first off, I think every kid
– my wife needs to make more fucking money. Yeah, she needs to get a goddamn weekend job. Seriously.
She should work in catering. You still have connections, right?
Whatever. El Cholo. Repeat after me, Chet. Would you care for another chimichanga, sir?
I got my resume and cover letter out to a couple places this week.
Catering places?
And my sketch packet. So I'm both trying to apply for comedy and non-comedy.
Good stuff, man.
But I think, free to say, I don't want my kid to be fucked up. The best approach to that is for you to take steps as possible, to take as many steps as possible to unfuck yourself up.
I have.
And you're taking those steps. But to continue to take those steps and build upon that.
But you know what? Do you know what upsets me? Do you know what upsets me?
I'm
everything career fucking oriented.
I know.
Everything.
That's a problem.
So that is a problem when I've told you with complete honesty that the only source of unhappiness in my life is career related. So what the fuck am I doing?
But I think the unhappiness career related is because you still have a lot of, and understandably so,
that's never going
to
go
unresolved. But you can continue to work through it and cope.
Oh, I am.
Yeah,
I am. hey, it's a big step that I actually called the Laugh Factory and asked for those sets, and I fucking...
And that's why...
I freaking grabbed my vagina and I ran out the goddamn door.
That's why I don't want you to feel like I'm just... Because you are taking steps forward. I want to see you.
But still, like, that wasn't crazy for me to do. I've seen this before. I got to stay till 1:45, and he texted... He sent out a tweet at 1:45, thanks, Factory crowd. That shit was fucking glorious. So you know he just murdered.
Sure.
I think I made a very educated decision.
You.
Based on experience and knowing where I am.
You made that decision. And
but that's the last thing I've done. But that's the last thing I've done.
For better or worse.
That's the last thing I've done.
What do you mean that's the last thing you've done?
You're only as good as your last whatever. So that's your as good set. As I am.
Yeah.
That's as good as I am.
When's your next set?
Because I fucking drove home and I turned on the TV and I poured myself a big fucking glass of bourbon.
And maybe that's the next thing we start addressing. Maybe
nah, never gonna happen.
Maybe your son's gonna get you a world's greatest dad shot glass. That's
as long as he becomes a professional golfer, everything will be fine.
I'm sure you won't be pushing your dreams on him at all.
No,
I'm
shoving my dream up his ass.
What if he wanted to be a TV host?
I don't care. No.
Not allowed.
Nope. No, I'm going to be very clear with my son. We brought you into this world at great fucking great effort and pain and heartache and struggle and worry. And we got you for the same reason we got a dog, for our enjoyment. You are a fucking accessory to our lives.
Are you
we
working
had
material?
You. I'm not. I believe this, and I was saying this to somebody
funny,
else.
Though.
Was like, you got to do this on
you
stage.
Should
like,
be
you're
saying
right.
This on stage.
Like, you don't give a fuck about what you want. You and Gussie are equals. We got you to make our lives better, period.
Because you love cleaning up other things' shit.
Somebody was talking about they know a couple who their four-year-old, $36,000 a year for preschool. And they got an email saying, we're raising it by $6,000. You have 2 weeks to say yes or no. Are you fucking kidding me? This is somebody in New York City, so their cost of living is already through
the fucking
roof.
That's 8 months of probiotics.
Listen, my kid can be a fucking dumb as a bag of dicks as long as he can hit a goddamn golf ball 340 yards.
Here's my final thought, Brian. We're going to do a little Jerry.
Here's another thing my friend and I were discussing. Like, I don't care if my son is gay. I don't want to. Just don't want him to be a lady boy. Is that bad?
Just a man.
Like, you
could
be a gay. Don't be a fucking pansy. If you're gonna be gay, then you just he's gonna get a ton of cock because that kid is fucking he's fucking beautiful, and I had a photo shoot, took some really good shots, so we're gonna try and get him out, get him working, maybe he can book
pushing
something.
The child actor thing,
but he won't be old enough to know what's going on.
Here's how it's gonna work, Brian. Either you can go and pay for the therapy now for yourself. Or you're going to have to pay for that kid's therapy by the time he's 14.
Fuck that. Get a job. Pay for your own goddamn therapy. What do you mean you're not happy?
Brian.
This was good.
Was this
we
good for you?
We don't need guests.
Was this cathartic?
We don't need guests.
Let's change the name of it. Just Brian Dunkelman's Weekly Therapy Hour.
Well, your name should be in there somewhere. Really looking forward to finishing this website, buddy.
Yeah. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, let's get out of here.